At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. Thank you for tuning in today to today's episode, and we're going to be having some real in-depth conversation about your life, your purpose, and personal wellness in every aspect of your life. We talk about real life issues to develop a life, relationship, and a business on purpose. Today, we're going to keep it real, and we're excited to have Eric Washington, who is a certified life coach and speaker, on today's episode. So welcome, Eric.
Hi, how's it going, miss? How's it going today?
It's going terrific, you know? Life is life. And you gotta live it, right? You gotta definitely live it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're excited today to have you on our show, just to talk about some major topics that you wanna talk about. I know the buzz is, you know, the racial disparities that we're having and the racial issues that we're having. But first, I wanna get into what you do exactly, and where are you coming out of? What state are you coming out of?
So if I'm hearing you correctly, say what state?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm from California, actually.
Okay.
I'm out of here in California.
Okay. All right. That's beautiful. I'm in New York. You know, your weather is much better than ours.
At the moment, right?
Yeah, at the moment. Well, you know, all of it changes. It's all different. You know, you find out it's all different. But usually your weather is nicer.
At least the same. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your story and how you got started on this journey as a certified life coach and speaker.
Well, that's a great question. For myself, I've always had a passion and a burden for people just in general. And I love people. I'm from a small town in Polk County, Florida called Arbondale. Mm-hmm. And I was born and raised there. And I've always, in that culture in Arbondale, you have to love everybody. Everybody knows everybody. So it was something that was already in my DNA, to be quite honest with
right.
you. So I wanted to help our world when it comes to just loving on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the journey. I knew that God was taking me into a space to where he wanted me to serve.
Okay.
And I wanted to do it with all my heart. And so that was the beginning of answering the call to what God was doing in my life. And so that's how it kind of started, to be quite honest.
Okay, great. Yeah, and you know, we're all brought here just to serve. And that's important, you know, and you heard the calling. So that's really important to hear that. Now, in all of that calling that you had, can you share some of your challenges that you may have had along the way until you finally got that journey kind of mapped out a little bit?
Well, I grew up, long story short, I grew up, my grandmother raised me. I come from a family of, it's four of us. I have a twin sister, and I have two other older siblings. And so for myself, I grew up with no parents in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I on my journey of growing up with my grandmother, she did her best that she possibly could with us.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of abandonment. There was a lot of uncertainty when it came to my development, my growth, and so forth. So I knew that I was missing a lot of fundamentals when it came to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was avoiding life because I didn't understand life. I didn't know what life had to really offer because I was not exposed to that mindset and so forth. And so I did a lot of things. I came out to California. I left home, excuse me, at 18 years old. I came here to play football, to pursue a football career. And in the process, I met my wife in college.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met my wife in college, here I am, never addressed, you know, my life, my childhood, my trauma,
right,
and so forth. And so here you just living life, like, you know, like I was stating.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that a lot of things I was missing out on.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped into a marriage, you know, and when I initially was married, I was raised in the church as well. So
yeah,
you always have this mindset of, you know, do what's right.
Right.
That's what the Bible teaches us.
Right.
And I just wanted to be a man that wanted to do what was right.
Right.
And but you can do what's right, but yet still do what's wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, you know, for myself, got married, had no business initially getting married because
right.
I never addressed my life, never addressed mm-hmm. How to actually love myself because
right.
I never received it as a kid and as my adult life. So I jumped into a marriage and we did well for a while, but yet that void of fulfillment, it was still calling on me. I
mm-hmm.
still didn't know myself. I still didn't understand myself.
Right.
The hurt still was still there.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
You know, because I had no tools in my toolbox.
Right.
It was just me leading to my own understanding.
Right? Well, I think you had the tools, Eric. I think you really did. What I think you didn't know how to do, you didn't know how to use a hammer. You didn't know how to use them. You had them, but I don't think you knew, like when you looked at the hammer, what the hammer was for, what the saw was for. You know what I'm saying? So we have them. It just we don't know what to do with them.
I think that's great the way you put it. I think I didn't know how to identify them because I think, you know, when you look at life and you see life for what it is now,
yes.
Long story short, it was a lot of dysfunction.
Right.
And so with that, as a man, being married, I wasn't the husband that I needed to be for my wife.
Right.
And I led to my own understanding, did a lot of things that could have cost me,
right.
But by his grace, he seemed fit to, we're talking about God. God's grace allowed me
mm-hmm.
to align myself back up into his mercy and grace.
Right.
And so that's what led me to being out there in the world and not having no kind of guidance,
right.
No accountability. Eventually it catches up with you.
Sure.
And you have to get to a space to where you got to address your past,
right.
Or your past will be in your present.
Yep.
And so that's what was taking place. And once I got to know myself and felt in love with myself, I was able to look at myself the way my creator was able to look at me.
Right.
And that changed. And that was the game changing for my ministry, for my career, for my entrepreneurship, for my marriage.
Right.
It was those little things that you take so for granted because you feel mm-hmm. like you have so much time to, what's the word? You have so much time in life, and you really don't.
Sure.
And so once I realized and recognized and had to address, I start really seeking to do the will of God. Mm-hmm. And God put this in my spirit to speak, to talk, to educate, mm-hmm. to be transparent, and to bring knowledge to our world.
Right.
Because there's a lot of men and women who are out there just moving like I was.
Right.
So now that I have a establishment of sound accountability, I'm able to move freely, but not under my own understanding. Gotcha. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
And gotcha. So, you put boundaries in place for development, right?
Mm-hmm.
You talk about vision, you have to have a prevision.
Right.
And so I decided to not lead again to my own understanding and put some parameters in place to make me the man that I need to be.
Right.
And so that's what I'm doing. And so I'm dedicated and committed to helping our world on a global level of bringing practical living into their minds and mm-hmm. their spirits and their subconsciousness.
Right.
And so that's what I'm here to do.
Right. And that's important. You talk about coming from the religious realm, and I know being part of that, once being part of that religious realm, mental health, self-love, and personal development are some things that are not addressed. Can you tell me how you merge those two, being in a religious sector and being able to merge those three, mental wellness, because it's not addressed. And we know that mental wellness takes more than just prayer. It takes you going to a therapist and working through those problems of childhood trauma. Can you talk about that, how you merge them to make that happen?
Well, for me, for myself, that's a good question, by the way. One of the things that I realized just from experience, I'm not going to talk to you outside of my experience.
Right.
That's what I can base my data off of.
Right, absolutely. I agree.
And from my experience and just being real with you, like you said, I think it's important to understand that, yes, we understand that for me, I'm a Christian,
mm-hmm.
That God is my centerpiece.
Right.
But you have to be able to exercise and get to know God on many different levels, from mm-hmm. a natural and a spiritual. So
absolutely.
For me, I struggle with depression.
Right.
I struggle with anxiety. It was just because, again, I was in church and I mm-hmm. could go pray myself through, like they call it, right?
Right.
But in reality, what do I do on the days I'm not in church?
Right.
So I had to learn how to exercise my authority.
Right.
And what does that mean, exercise my authority? I had to get by myself, and I had to confront myself.
Right.
And once I learned how to confront myself, God was always with me. He just showed me that I need to put him as the centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean, centerpiece?
Mm-hmm.
I had to understand that I had a lot of hurt that I had to let go and let God. You've heard that before.
Oh, sure.
It's more than just let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a daily consistency.
Right.
So for me, I was at a space in my life to where I lost my mom. I lost my mother and my grandmother in the same year, roughly. And mm-hmm. that was probably one of the lowest spaces in my life.
Right.
And I had a relationship with God, but I really didn't have a relationship
mm-hmm.
because I was doing what everybody else was telling
right.
me to do.
Right.
But I'm reminded that you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Oh, sure. Oh,
and absolutely. So I had to learn how to find myself in Christ.
Right.
And once I figured out how to find myself with him and really talk to him like a friend,
mm-hmm.
that was the game changer. And really be willing to go into his presence and not know anything, because in our natural mind, we feel like we know everything.
Right.
So I have to deny myself to understand him, to understand his ways, to understand how he looked at me.
Right.
And so once I figured that part out, I start holding myself accountable.
Right.
I start putting myself in position to be accountable, not just to myself. And I got into therapy. Right. I started addressing those issues because right. therapy is necessary.
Oh, yeah.
It is essential right. to your human mind.
It, exactly. It really is.
And so we don't talk about that enough in the church realm, yeah. right?
You don't.
And so you have to be able to address it. You have to be able to talk about it. And you have to be able to own it.
Right. Right. That's important. And the other part of that, too, is with the self-love. We're taught to give, but never love on ourselves, because at some point we're always taught within the religious sect, I would say, that's kind of ego, you know. But
right.
With, like you said, that God, who is the center or the source or the one, will supply those, the mental wellness as a resource. People in the world or universally are those resources, right? But
100%.
But one thing is for sure is like learning to love yourself. And I think I was learning about self-love, and there was a scripture that always kept coming to me. You know, we need to come back to our first love. So in church, I always thought about it was God or Jesus, right? We never knew none of that. And I think God took me back when I was 5 years old. And I was 5 years old outside playing, and I was on a swing. Now, I knew nothing about God because I just didn't know anything about God. It was just not a concept. So I'm swinging on this double-seated swing with another kid, and I'm just swinging, like, and he's saying go higher and higher, and I was like, okay, I could go as high as you. So I'm doing exactly that, like, I'm going and going and going and going. So I kept going, and that's all God showed me, right? That's all he showed me, was like that. So I was like, oh, you mean love yourself, have the capacity to have belief in yourself, you know, how great you look. You know, a 5-year-old doesn't think, oh, I don't look good today. They don't think like that, right? But to go back to your first love is the love of yourself, to really, really love who you are, to love what you are, and to love what you're doing. I think we're not taught enough about that at all.
Well, I'll say this, learning, you're 100% right what you just stated. Mm-hmm. So I think that's beautiful the way you put it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've learned in therapy over a period of time now mm-hmm. is that any relationship right. that I'm a part of, no right. matter if it's wife, no matter if it's my church family, right. no matter if it's my immediate family right. or even my friends,
right.
It has to be beneficial.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, you know, once I realized and once that revelation really hit my spirit to recognize all relationships have to be beneficial.
Oh, yes.
It cannot be, because everything in life requires two sides, right? And so I learned how to, anything that I was a part of has to be beneficial to my life. If it's not beneficial to my life in a positive and healthy way,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a part of it.
Right. Right.
And it makes sense. To realize that and yeah. to recognize, like, hey, to know my worth, to know who I am.
Absolutely.
And that takes, again, a shifting within your mind.
Absolutely.
That requires discipline. That
uh-huh.
requires energy. That right. requires effort.
Yep.
That requires some lonely moments to mm-hmm. figure and to discover.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fell in love with that aspect of my life because I know I needed those tools.
Yeah.
So now in life, I'm able to pull back and forth in every which way when necessary.
Right. Right. That's good. That's good stuff. You know, personal development is what you're starting to talk about now. Personal development is about some solitude, because so many times we've asked, you know, like, I'll take me, for example, my girlfriends and everything. And so when I'm going through some problems, right, I'll call them up. Sometimes that's not good. That's not a good thing. You know, you have to sit in solitude and talk to God about it, talk to yourself about it, and then wait for an answer. Because so many times we're too busy trying to get advice on things, right? But we're not asking the source about what's going on. And personal development has a lot to do with solitude, has a lot to do with taking care of yourself, has a lot to do with creating those boundaries and finding out what you just said, who's good for me and who isn't good for me. You know, who should I say goodbye to and who should I say hello to, you know? So personal development is a, you know, like you said, is great when you're in solitude and you're learning how, now I got the directions to this hammer here. Now, how do I use that hammer? How do I use it? Where do I use it? When do I use it? So can you talk about your personal development, like one or two of your personal development steps on your journey?
Yeah, that's a good question. For myself, it's accountability.
Okay.
I call it spiritual alignment.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So for myself, personal development is in many different ways, but I want to give you two of them.
Okay.
One, I'm kingdom minded.
Okay.
One, anything that I do, I know that I was created from a creator.
Right.
Right? So I know that's my source. He's mm-hmm. my foundation.
Right.
He's my thinker. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to become accountable to him. I had to develop this disciplined lifestyle to where anything that I do, I don't just involve him. I sit and I dwell among his mindset. Mm. Other words, I take on his ways of thinking. So mm-hmm. every single day I'm getting up with anticipation to grow and to evolve. I have to discipline myself by going into his presence. I have to mm-hmm. discipline himself by understanding his ways. Mm-hmm. And so the spiritual alignment is so important to where anything that I do now, it's first and foremost him, accountability, holding myself accountable, not my way of doing things, but his way of doing things. So his ways are right. My ways are wrong mm-hmm. because the Bible says the heart is wicked.
Mm-hmm.
So if the heart is wicked, that lets me know that my ego, my pride, can get in the way from my growth.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I stop that? I have to be able to align myself up on a consistent and consistent and commitment with mm-hmm. him. So I committed myself to him in everything that I do.
Right.
And I acknowledge him in everything that I do. Right? So right. that first kingdom-minded, that really that revolutionized my life, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because when you're kingdom minded, this is bigger than you.
Right, right. Right, right.
And you're able to look at people not from a natural, you're able to look at them from, because we're all the spiritual beings,
oh,
right?
Sure, sure.
And so I'm not, so now once I'm accountable to my creator, mm-hmm. I'm now accountable to myself because he's the head of me. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So, what, back in the day, I wasn't able to tell you this.
Right.
Now that I realize and I know that I know through experience that he's truly the head of me. He directs and guides me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one, being consistent and being committed to my daily relationship with him.
Right.
Right? Because that's the foundation. Secondly, I had to invest into the next generations.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Everything that I do, I don't do it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I'm kingdom-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm kingdom-minded, I'm not just looking at my generation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the generations that are after me.
Right.
You see that?
Right.
So that has to do with my kids.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
So now, I have to now be not just committed to God. I have mm-hmm. to be committed to my family, my wife. I have to be committed to her. I have to be faithful to her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm faithful to her, I'm faithful to my kids.
Right.
Because, again, it's not about me. Because if I'm not in alignment, spiritual alignment with him, I now can affect other generations.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
So I have to make sure that, one, I'm kingdom-minded. Two, I'm investing into
right.
the next generation with
right.
integrity, with humility,
right.
with a upright mindset, and transparency.
Right.
I have to be able to tell people and talk to people about my failures,
mm-hmm.
because my failures are going to expose me if I don't expose it.
Right.
Come on. And so I get excited talking about this. I really do. But to be honest with you, Ms. White, it's so important to understand those two ingredients.
Sure.
To one, kingdom-minded, and secondly, invest into next generations.
Right.
Because the next generation is expecting a investment. What is that investment? The sacrifice of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right.
So if I'm not able to sacrifice my life and be able to commit to the relationship from that infinite world, because the infinite world allows me to be in the natural.
Right.
And so
right.
That's two things. Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, your spiritual alignment is really important, because that helps you to, it serves you. So it's like the innate preacher speaking to you, and it serves you in your journey, and it's for your mental health. It's for your emotional health. It's for your spiritual health. And more important, it's for your physical health. Because if you're not physically fit here, or you're not mentally well here, or you're not financially well, I always talk about that too. You're not financially well. You cannot be well for someone else. You cannot show someone else how to be, what it's supposed to look like. So I thank you for you saying that's really important. Bringing those things together, and spiritual alignment does that for you, because when you're in connection with God and all of those things, those chakras line up and you're lined up, it really opens the channel. It opens the channel to the oneness, and the oneness is to care about all of those areas. Financials, your body, your mind, right. You know, your emotions, you know, your total well-being, you know, and that helps you for the next generation, because you're teaching the next generation. That's beautiful. Now that we've talked about all that great stuff about spiritual and natural, there's another part of that, you know, we talk about, we're into the religious part of this and going to church. There's another part that we don't talk about, and that's financial. We're not taught how to financially be responsible. Can you talk about that part of your journey, how, you know, your spiritual alignment helped with that financial piece?
Yeah, for sure. So when we think about financial, right, we, you know, a lot of times it's really not talked about because we're focusing on other things. But mm-hmm. when we can recognize that financial is spiritual as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that has been transformed within biblical perspectives into the natural.
Right.
I want to talk about this for a second.
Sure.
We have to understand that money is a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit energy. Is a That's movement.
Right.
Right.
Right. Synergy, yep.
And so a lot of times when God put things before us, the first thing God wants us to understand is, how are you going to manage it?
Right.
So a lot of people want financial blessings, but they can't even manage the small
sure.
things they have right now.
Right. Sure.
You could be so spiritually, you could be so spiritual, but no earthly good.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely. See,
we got to understand it, Ms. White. We are creators.
Absolutely.
Because we were made in the image in the God that created us.
Right.
He it was a thought that became a reality into creation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And so when we can understand that God is it's just as important to be solid in solitude, in alignment, spiritual, towards our spirituality,
mm-hmm.
but financially also is the key ingredient. Because you notice the ones who have the finances, when we study scriptures, mm-hmm. when we study the theology of finances,
absolutely,
those men and women were very
correct.
Successful. There was royalty.
That's correct.
And so a lot of times, why we don't focus on that is because it's not the fact that we're not taught. It's right. not the fact that we don't have the ability. it's not important because a lot of times that goes back to really surrendering your mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
And people don't want to do that. They want to take what they want to take out of scripture.
Right.
And then in fact, they can live their life. And in one degree, they feel like they are a God.
Mm.
And that's not a reality of life. That's not biblical truth. That's not biblical principles. And so a lot of times people are missing the key ingredient of life all because they don't align themselves up with God and they don't line themselves up to be consistent. If you can't be consistent and if you can't understand his ways, how are you going to understand his blessings? And so I think it's important to understand that you got to get to know God's ways. And if you really, really seeking his will, he will reveal to you the principles to be financial freedom.
Right.
He truly will. And I've learned that. And I've been, I have been a person who haven't been good as a good steward over my finances. Me and my wife both.
Right.
And so we've learned with the experience
on,
no, the kingdom has to always come first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And everything else to be added. So we understand that revelation.
Right.
And another thing too, people don't like to give. Right. They like to give when it's convenient, but they don't like to sacrifice by giving.
Right.
And that's where the measure comes into play. That's where the management comes into play.
Right.
It's easy to give when you have a lot. But your real foundation is when you don't have a lot. Can you trust him then? See, a lot of times we talk about financial freedom, but God has put us in situations to where, okay, we love God. We have an understanding with God. But if you're really in love with God, you understand that you're going to have to sacrifice. It's not what you're willing to do.
Right.
It's all about what you're willing to sacrifice.
Mm.
And that's what God gave to me in my spirit. And that's how I was able to change my finances into the realm that we're changing it into.
Well, I know for me, personally, I was only taught in the religious sector, I was only taught about tithe. That's it. I'm talking about being taught about money, how to finance. I understand now that, again, that money is nothing but energy. And how you create it is can come from different ways. But I'm talking about using the source to say just what you said. Find out, okay, I am not financially manageable. I am not a good steward of money. I have debt all over the place. I do not have what I should have. If I'm speaking creativity, I am abundant and all. Those things don't line up. So when I found out that they didn't line up, I said, "Okay, you know, God, what's going on? How do I fix this?" And led me to a resource, which was a financial advisor. And told me, this is what you should be doing. Boom, 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 boom. This is what your budget should look like. This is what you should be managing. And now I'm in such a good place. I feel, you know, so financially fit that I'm like, it's incredible. It's almost like, wow, if I knew this long time ago, I would have been so much further. But, you know, I'm talking about being taught, you know, listening to God saying, yeah, you do need to do this. But then there's resources that he's placed here to help us to get there. That's what I was, you know, kind of talking about. I know all of that exists. And I know it's part of the journey, spiritual journey, to kind of talk that through. But it's more than talking. It's more about putting those things into place so that we can have them. And then teaching our children how to manage a book, a checkbook, how to... What is a debit card for it? What's the interest rate on a credit card? Those things that are here and that, you know, that they need to know about, you know. And I started teaching my kids as early as 6 what they were, you know, this is how they function, you know, and speaking the language so that they will understand it. And then saying, okay, you need a bank account, but you can't withdraw to do this and do that. You need to do this, you know, teaching them that to save. So feeding into the generation like you have, like you're saying, is important. And I appreciate what you said to me about, you know, kingdom building and that's important. But finances, sometimes we're not, like I'm saying, taught you know, and God does speak to us, you know, individually on those things, but I mean physically taught.
Right. And, and I agree with you, you know, growing up, you know, a grandmother who raised, she probably raised close to 18 grandkids.
Wow.
16, 18 grandkids,
wow.
Right? And grandmother had the third grade education, and I seen the struggle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were so poor, we was living in shacks, right? Like, that was just kind of our way of living. And like, all of my aunts and uncles, they all lived in poverty as well.
Right. Oh, wow.
And I believe poverty is inheritance if someone don't break the curse.
Oh, you got that right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, because it's, you know, poverty is, it's a mentality that becomes a lifestyle.
Yes, exactly.
Because it starts within the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you as far, especially in the African-American community, we're always trying to fit in.
Right.
And so I agree with you. Teaching, you know, the reality, the ones who are exposed to this financial literacy and understanding, they get exposed at a young age.
Right.
And those are the ones that become successful in our society.
Right.
And that is so important to understand that you have to, and then right now, that's what we're doing with our kids. We teach our kids the responsibility now. Like money don't just grow on trees.
Sure.
Right.
Right. Right.
And because, you know, I was listening not too long ago, and someone was saying, I think it was Marvin Golden, I think that's his name, and he was stating how poor people want guaranteed.
Right.
They want it to be guaranteed, as far as, like, I want this to be guaranteed, and that's because that's, in one degree, that's a peace of mind to the mind of a person that's poor.
Mm-hmm.
But a person that is wealthy or becoming wealthy, they just want an opportunity. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
One has the mindset, I want a guarantee, because that's kind of, you know, it's a scarcity there. But the wealthy person is willing to take a chance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a wealthy person is willing to fall. A wealthy person is willing to have failure to grow into
learn.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's something for myself. I used to be that guy who tried to hold on because I wanted to feel some kind of security.
Yeah. Yeah, you wanted a plan B. And just in case, right, plan A fails.
Right, because I was taught that, right? I remember I had an aunt, and I don't know if she ever hear this, but it's the truth. But no, you have to be honest. And she,
sure.
I remember when I first got married to my wife, and she made a comment like, you make sure you set aside money just in case.
I was told that too, yes. I was told that too. Put a separate account. Don't put an account together. Put a separate account so you can escape. Plan B.
but think about that, Miss White. Like,
you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself up for failure, pretty much.
Right.
Yes.
You're training your self-conscious mind. We try to call it preventative maintenance. Like,
no, it's...
Hey, I'm just being honest. And you say, hey, the podcast is keeping it real, right?
So keep it real. It's true. We're so trained to have a plan A, but if plan B don't work, if plan A don't work, let's get a plan B going, you know? I was told the very same thing. Very same thing.
In reality, when things get tough in your marriage or your relationship,
right,
that's the first thing to self-conscious.
It comes right to your mouth. Oh, I got to get that money out.
The enemy going to use it against
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it becomes one of those tools you don't want, it, those warrior tools, really, and it starts a war all over again. It's like, it's another realm, you know, you start talking about that, because what is the number one divorce, reason for divorce? Money!
Finance. Yeah.
It's finances, it's, you know.
Because we gotta understand, you know, I've learned just, you know, been married to my wife. My wife is not a material type of woman, so I don't have those issues like I know. And I'm very blessed. My wife, she's a very practical thinker.
Yeah.
She is that type of woman where, she wants to invest. She wants movement.
Right.
My wife, she's not a material person, but she likes to move when she want to move, right? And financially. And so you, as a husband, you have to be in position to be creative, to create that lifestyle for your wife.
Yeah.
That is my responsibility, right?
And so when you
get deluded with how society thinks something should be, or how what your family thinks something should be, you got to get away from all that.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, because it will literally affect you more when you leave the environment versus when you're there. Because you don't have time to think about it when you leave.
Right. Right. I am a life coach for women of color that are trying to, not trying, but know that they have to break those generational patterns. And what we're really talking about here today is generational patterns. Patterns that we learned are stuck in our subconscious that don't help us move forward. And just like you said, that you came out of that, you realized, you know, you realize that you have these tools to that you could change your life. You could take all these mistakes, the mishaps, and these life lessons and turn them around so that you're not dysfunctional, so you're not feeling abandoned, so that you move with an arsenal of tools to help you just have a successful life. So that's really great stuff that we're talking here today. Audience, I know that you're having a great time listening to this, and our guest today is Eric Washington of California, who's a certified life coach and speaker, and we are having a delightful time. Listen, audience, if you want to ask a question, you know that you can go right in the box and ask a question, and I'll get it right over to Erica, and he can answer it for you, or you can find Eric on ericspeaksinc@gmail.com, and he's also on social media on Linktree, and Linktree is linktr.ee spoken by Eric. Okay, you can find him there. So Eric, what is on the horizon for you now? What are you up to? What's the new juices that are going on?
Yeah, you know, right now I'm in creative mode right now.
Okay.
I'm about to I am creating some more content. I'm creating some courses. I want those people who are wanting to evolve and grow within their mindset.
Uh-huh.
I have to be able to put some curriculums out there for them. And so that's what I'm working on. Okay. I'm working on a book project as well.
Okay.
Coming soon. And so, you know, and on top of that, my job as a servant to the world is to add value to your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Right.
I want to be able to be resourceful to be able to help the multitudes and help those ones who don't have a voice.
Right, exactly.
And so I'm in creative mode right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, you know, you can find me on all the social media platforms.
Okay, that's nice. All right.
And then I got my podcast coming out.
Okay, what is the name of your podcast? Tell us where we can find it and what's the name of it. Tell us how our audience and myself to find out. Where can we find you?
Spoken by Eric podcast on YouTube.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Coming soon.
So, you know, to like, subscribe, and to look for him. Now, this is the second half of our show, and I know, audience, you're waiting to hear more about Eric and what he is all about. So, this part is about who you are as a person. So, the audience is dying to hear my questions, because my questions are good, and they're fun. So they're fun. So this is that part that you get to answer all about you, Eric. Are you ready? Drum roll. Okay, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
If I could have a billboard, I would probably put this statement, love thyself with all thy heart.
Ooh, good. That's good. Love thyself. Hashtag that, ladies and gentlemen. Love thyself. Hashtag love thyself for this show. And then put down, and hashtag Eric. Hashtag him. That would be great. Put those two together. Love thyself. I love that. I love that. What would you pick as your last meal?
My last meal. That's a good one. That's a good question. You know, my wife, she can throw down.
I bet she can.
You know what? You know, I've really been on this health journey. Uh-huh. I would probably say my wife, she probably laugh when I say this. It'll probably be her stuffed bell peppers.
Okay. Okay.
Goodness.
And okay, so that's all you have. Stuffed peppers.
Stuffed bell peppers.
Okay,
yes.
Stuffed bell peppers. Okay. They must be really good then. Okay.
It's white. Man, it makes you think a little bit.
Okay. So what is your favorite color?
My favorite color is blue.
Okay. Why? What
vibrant.
Sparked it? It's vibrant. Okay.
It's vibrant. It brings an energy.
Okay.
It represents so many factors of my life. I'm a very passionate, love, kind, gentle individual.
Right.
So it brings my truth, to be quite honest. Blue
right,
does.
Right. Okay. Well, then I might as well just end with this. No, I'm gonna ask you. Who is the most important person in your life?
Well, the most important person on earth is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and my kids.
Okay.
I feel they're one.
Right.
but to, honestly, Miss White, the most important of my life is Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Miss White, you wouldn't even be talking to me if it wasn't for him orchestrating my mind, my spirit, my thoughts, and who I am.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right, that's all about, you know, Jesus Christ was a rebel and all about that love. He rebelled against anything. Anything that wasn't quite right, he rebelled against that, and he taught love. Go do your job a different way with love. You know, you can look any way you want, but go do it with love. I guarantee you get more people.
100%.
You know, and that's what the difference is. And I loved what you said in the beginning of the show, that you had God, but you didn't know him. I was in church 29 years thinking I was doing a great job. I knew of him, but not until I was alone and had to be alone, had to be in solitude, did I know him. I knew the oneness, because I don't even want to say him, because him would that mean me and him like standing next to each other. No, he's higher than I. He's higher than I. And I would say the oneness of God. I didn't know that. And that relationship, that oneness, you know, it's like a churning circle. You know, like, I could feel it now. It's like just a circle going round and round in you. That spirit, you know, that's really that connection with God. I know that now. And I appreciate you saying that, because I connected you right away. I knew exactly what you were talking about. You know, I knew exactly what you were talking about, you know?
Amen.
Yes. So, if you had any final thoughts to give our audience today on how to be a life coach, how to be that speaker, what would you say to them? What would you encourage them to do?
Well, if I can give any advice, I would want them to be transparent with themselves.
Good.
Good. I think, that is the way you have to be, because that's what people are looking for, transparency.
That's good.
They're looking for genuine, they're looking for truth, they're looking for self-discovery, and being transparent with people can resonate with that. And,
that's good.
And honestly, stop doubting yourself. That I struggled with that for years, all because my past was in my present.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I let it become who I was and
right,
who
right.
I am.
Right, right.
And so I encourage anybody, if you want to get into the space of becoming a life coach, you can do it.
Right.
You just who you are is just enough.
Exactly.
Because we was created on earth to, you have a people who God has orchestrated just for you to reach.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And amen so to that. If I can encourage you, if I can encourage the world, not universe, the world, I will encourage you to, one, do it.
Right.
If God has put it in your spirit, don't right. worry about how it's going to happen. Work with what you have.
Right.
And let him guide and direct you yes, on absolutely. This path. Because you're not going to understand it. And it's not for you to understand. Mm-hmm. It's for you to continue walking. It's for you to become who God has called you to be, that creative mind
right.
that God has called you to be.
Right. Excellent. And that brings us to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about on social media, or leave a rating and a review. Remember to catch me lately or just right now and follow me on Facebook, EJW Coaching, Instagram, same thing, EJW Coaching, and of course on Twitter, EJW Coaching. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time. This is Edna White and my guest today, Eric Williams, saying, Washington, I'm sorry. I see all my messy name. Eric Washington, hashtag, saying goodbye for now.
Thank you.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.